So do we really have to wear a mask when we're outside at a national park hiking?
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendlin.
You know, there's so much confusion out there over the new COVID rules put in place by the Biden administration requiring the use of masks on federal land. Does that mean that we got to mask up while hiking in a national park or hanging out at our BLM campsite? Well, that's what we're going to try and answer this week on episode 329 of the RV Podcast. Plus, we have lots more RV news, tips, your questions, an interview about a brand new service that promises to help RVers who have breakdowns on the road, and of course, another great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts. All this on this episode, 329 of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel. Right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
It is a wet, foggy, rainy day here in Florida. In fact, it has been a wet and foggy rainy day in Florida for the last week.
Well, what can I say? We're here. We're in Florida. If we were home, we'd be experiencing snow.
Ooh, well, don't say that too loud because, you know, we've got Bo who loves snow.
Right. Poor Bo couldn't even go to the dog park today because it's been raining the entire day. Usually it stops, but it looks like today's going to be rain the entire day.
We are going to heading back to Michigan next week. We got to stop in Nashville on the way back and doing a lot of driving. We've got lots of little errands and projects that we're working on. And then we expect to be back here in the Emerald Coast area of Florida in another.
We'll stay home a few weeks.
A few weeks? Is that it?
Yeah, a few weeks.
And then we're back again.
Then we'll head south again.
Yep, and then we'll head west again, and then we'll head north again, and hopefully this is going to be a little bit better of a year, but still a lot of confusion. We're going to talk a lot about, in just a minute here in the news of the week, about the mask confusion on federal properties and national parks, and hopefully we'll clear that up for everybody. People have asked us, what's it like traveling, and you want to give them a quick account? We've been through 6 states now since our last podcast, and what's been our experience?
Everything seems to be much more open than the state of Michigan, the states that we have been in, and so it's been comfortable.
Yeah, I think that's a good word for it. It's comfortable. Restaurants are open. I think most of them have. Ohio has has a curfew. They have to close by a certain time.
Well, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, that's good.
And then we're older people, we don't stay out all night.
Yeah. Hey, I've been known to stay out to 10:30 sometimes. But
right.
And then the other states, I think some of them have caps on how much capacity you can have in a restaurant or public place. But the staff, every place we've gone, have been in masks, right?
And that's good. I hope in the kitchen they're wearing a mask as well.
Yes, me too. That's important. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that is, I guess our advice is, you know, it's travel is pretty normal. We did stay at a KOA south of Louisville, and it was about 25% full. It was about 25% full, and I think most of them were on their way to Florida, at least the ones I talked to were outside.
There were lots of campsites. They offered water if you wanted water hookups, and it was kind of normal.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Camping World, America's number one RV dealer. Hey, have you been a little bit stymied by not being able to attend an RV show this year? Because many of them are canceled still. A few are open. We'll talk about those later on in the podcast, but most in-person RV shows canceled so far this year, and many people then wondering what's the best way to safely buy an RV during a pandemic. Well, Camping World is trying to solve that issue with their ultimate RV show. It's going on right now, a national tour coast to coast to bring you a virtual RV show. First one and the biggest one ever, live streamed over multiple nights straight from Camping World's social channels. And right through March 6th. So there's new locations each week. You can tune in. You get discounts on hundreds of RVs. They're shoppable right now from your couch. In addition to the RV deals, they're offering RV walkthroughs all by video, tons of retail product specials. You just go to ultimatervshow.com. That's the address. New locations every week. Check them out. See where they are. Look at some of the past episodes and the material they've put on. It's Ultimate RV Show, all one word, ultimatervshow.com. You'll find free stuff, lots of information, and it is all available for you to check out right now.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All right, we're going to start off with this big story this week, and that's what the title of this episode is all about. Do campers have to wear a mask when outside in national parks? Well, last week, one of the very first things that the new Biden administration did was issue an executive order requiring all people to wear masks on federal land. And many people say that means even when outside. Does it really? Now, let's give you some back information here. In order to stop the spread of COVID-19, this order states, quote, individuals in federal buildings and on federal lands should all wear masks, which, if taken literally, certainly seems to apply to some that in a national park or camping on a land owned by the federal government, popular with boondockers, that would fall under that order. Now, I know other RV sites have been really stressing the literal application of the order, but it's been my experience in life that few things are to be taken literally, and I would like to suggest that we look a little more carefully at what this order said and the intent behind it, rather than take the most extreme application that some are saying that you got to wear a mask whenever you're out hiking in the national park. The fact is that right now, a lot of details are lacking from the order. For example, it's not clear just when it takes effect. It's not clear how it's going to be enforced or what the penalties are for violating it. And actually, President Biden signed two orders. One requires that masks be worn at airports and on many planes, trains, ships, intercity buses. And that part's pretty clear. It's the second order that requires masks on federal property. And I want to quote you exactly what that order says. Accordingly, to protect the federal workforce and individuals interacting with the federal workforce, and to ensure the continuity of government services and activities, on-duty or on-site federal employees, on-site federal contractors, and other individuals in federal buildings and on federal lands should all wear masks, maintain physical distance, and adhere to other public health measures as provided in CDC, Center for Disease Control guidelines. All right, so the intent of that order, it's pretty clear. It's to protect, mostly it's in, to protect federal workers and those interacting with them, and that could include rangers, the folks who staff registration booths, concessionaires, campers, campground volunteers. We got it. That's clear. That's the intent. Now, the requirement is that masks and social distancing be required inside federal buildings. And that's understood. We're kind of used to that. It's like that in most of the states. But besides buildings, here's where it gets confusing. The order also says, and on federal lands. That's where the confusion is, on federal lands. Now, some sensational reporting in the RV media, maybe it's to get more clicks, imply that means that you would now have to be wearing a mask while anywhere outside in a national park or on BLM lands. And that is really not what that order says. So again, let me just read what it says. It says, should all wear masks. It doesn't say must. That's a big difference between should and must. And it also references that people should follow CDC guidelines. So what are those? Well, guess what those guidelines say about wearing masks outdoors. It says masks need not be worn outside. In fact, here's what the exact CDC quote is. Masks may not be necessary when you are outside by yourself, away from others, or with other people who live in your household. However, some localities may have mask mandates while out in public. Please check your rules in that locality. Now, another thing about the president's order, it goes on to leave the implementation and the enforcement of this to the heads of agencies, giving them discretion to, quote, make categorical or case-by-case exceptions. Now, when the media asked the White House if that order specifically means that campers, for example, will have to wear masks in national parks and federal land, a Biden administration official said that such decisions will be left to their overseeing agencies to implement while also following, quote, science. Now, the COVID science changes every week as the medical and the public health community learns more about the disease. And as I read this order that was signed by the president last week, I think it's pretty safe to say that campers and boondockers need not be concerned about wearing masks on a hike or when they're out exploring, unless you're in a big group where you come into contact with a lot of other people. I mean, realistically, the order is very broad, it's very vague, and its enforcement is very much up in the air. I talked to a federal superintendent of one of our national land properties, and he said that they don't see any change at all. He sees that mostly affecting just the employees. He said, even if we did, if somebody did say, you know, you have to wear a mask outside, we couldn't enforce that, nor would we try. So my caution to you is you're going to hear all this stuff, clickbait stories about it. Don't expect rangers to be out hiding behind boulders ready to cite you for not wearing a mask when you're out in the boonies someplace. It's not going to happen. So we'll keep monitoring this, and we're going to report back as the order becomes clearer and more guidelines are developed. But this is nothing to get really upset about. This is just standard procedure, no big change. Don't worry about it.
Many popular state campgrounds are opening their reservation lines, and it's important to pay attention if you're seeking to camp in a popular spot this summer. February 1st is the day Nebraska opens up for summer reservations. Maine has one park open February 1st, with reservations for other openings shortly thereafter. Colorado is also open and filling up. Failing to reserve now may mean that you can't find a spot later. Recently, when we predicted travel trends RVers should expect in 2021, one was campgrounds will be booked out by the end of February 2021. To review that story and other ways to prepare, we'll put a link on the show notes page for this episode of the podcast at rvlifestyle.com/329. Many campers make it a point to visit as many national parks as possible. And so we thought you may enjoy learning more about the beauty of America's newest national park, the River Gorge National Park and Reserve. The park and reserve sits on 72,000 plus acres in West Virginia, and it became a national park as part of December's COVID-19 relief package. The park has rock climbing, whitewater rafting, and the longest steel arch span bridge in the Western Hemisphere, where people parachute off the 876-foot from the bridge to the river below every October on Bridge Day.
Let's do that.
Okay.
You go first.
Oh, I was going to let you go first.
Okay.
Camping is permitted, though it only offers primitive camping currently. This is definitely a place Mike and I want to visit, and I bet you will too. We'll put a link to information on the new River Gorge National Park on the show notes page at rvlifestyle.com/329. Two campground owners in Maine who sued their governor over an executive order requiring out-of-state campers to quarantine for 2 weeks lost their appeal in federal court. The campground owners had argued in part that the COVID-19 executive order barring people from traveling freely between states was unconstitutional. Maine's governor was one of many last year that put a quarantine requirement on out-of-state travelers that devastated those who make a living in the hospitality industry, like campground owners. While the full case is pretty complicated and it sounds like the matter is not over, Maine's governor has since modified her order. Now, most out-of-state visitors must test negative for COVID-19 within 72 hours of arrival or quarantine for 10 days once they arrive in Maine. Many of us RVers got into the lifestyle because we enjoy nature. When we're outside and on a hike, it can be the ultimate de-stressor. But did you know a new study by the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine says hiking is actually scientifically proven to be good for your health? A hike provides exercise, which is good for your body. But navigating a trail is much better than walking a treadmill because of the cognitive work required to not get lost and stay aware of your environment. Plus, the study says, simply being outdoors does wonders for your health. And of course, if you find yourself at a campground today and decide to head out for a hike, it is also important to keep safety in mind.
We'll put a link to a story that we did on what every hiker should know with the show notes for this episode under the news of the week. So scroll down rvlifestyle.com/329. This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. These are the most popular, number one e-bike brand in America right now. One of the reasons is because it's so much a favorite of RVers. We see Rad Power Bikes in campgrounds all across North America. They're America's number one e-bike brand because they offer direct-to-consumer pricing, powerful premium electric bikes. They can each reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. Lots of different models, everything from fat tire bikes to mountain style bikes to beach cruisers to foldable bikes, collapsible foldable bikes, and all of them give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle or utilize different levels of pedal assist for an added boost. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge of your Rad Power bikes. And as we say, they're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is completely cut off. And here's a special deal for you. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they will give you an additional $75 off. Plus, you get free shipping on all their bike models. Very simple to put together. Use the coupon code RV Lifestyle. Get an additional $75 off plus free shipping. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Okay, this question came from one of our listeners named Nancy. She used our special RV podcast voicemail with this info.
Hi, Mike and Jen. It's Nancy. I've been following you for quite a while, and I really enjoy your podcast and your Facebook page. I'm one of your pretty common camper enthusiasts that started with a tent, pop-up, light-up, lightweight travel trailer, bigger travel trailer, and recently a motorhome. Now that I'm into the motorhome, and I actually haven't used it, had to winterize it right after purchasing it, a lot of features. And the each level, even a tent came with instructions, but one out of particular comes to mind, that pop-up came with a video. And I always liked the fact that their company gave us this video that I could put in and look at watching it being demonstrated. And today, not just because of COVID-19, but because time is short for the trainings and the walkthroughs, everyone feels pressure to go quick and everyone else is telling them, don't let them, you know, rush you through them. But that's very hard to do. And you know what would even be better is walking away with a demo DVD. I just think that the more complicated or the more expensive the unit, it should be almost a given. And I would love to see manufacturers do videos demonstrating all the different features of their RVs. And that way, especially as the people don't turn them over. You know, not everyone keeps them to the very end. They can actually then offer that with the unit to the next owners. So they're not at a loss when they come into a used unit, and they're lucky to get a few books of different features that came with the trailer. Personally, I keep a binder, and that goes to the next person. I don't know if everyone does that. So I actually even went back a spring after selling one in the winter and trained and helped them spring start it to sanitize the water system. So I know I'm not the usual camper in that regard, but boy, I think it would be wonderful to have a video demonstrating the uses of all the different really cool features, because they're becoming, it's more a digital world, and I just think it would be really great to have that on a video.
Well, that was Nancy's suggestion and kind of a question, I guess. What do we think about when you take possession, getting a video? You've always had some. I think that's a great idea, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Nancy is definitely a detail person and a very conscientious and kind person, that she went back and helped the person that bought her former rig figure out how to get it ready to take off again, because it is hard to remember and know everything you have to do. And why, you know, I absolutely love the idea of having the video. I started cringing for the manufacturers, thinking that even when you get a rig, sometimes the manuals are out of date and the cost of making things. But it shouldn't cost that much to come up with something. Well, I suppose it depends on the manufacturer, how many different rigs they make. But boy, that really does seem like that's the ticket to give people a video to show them how to do things.
And it would really help, I think, the RV dealers, because many of the dealers, you know, they may put a guy, hey, give this person a walkthrough. They just bought a travel trailer. Well, maybe that sales guy is not familiar with that trailer. He sells motorhomes, and maybe he sells Class B homes, and the next day he has to do a demo on a Class A. And so they're kind of... some of those guys are just kind of winging it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
They'll admit that. They'll admit it.
They're asking a lot of these salesmen to know everything, because if you work for a big
dealership, yeah,
you know, where they got all kinds of brands, and things change constantly.
Now, since they don't do DVDs, and I bet there are some manufacturers who do or have them, since they don't, one of the suggestions that you always had, Jennifer, is that they videotape the walkthrough. When you get a walkthrough, videotape it. Just whip out your phone.
Right.
Have one of you video and the other person ask questions and take notes.
Right. You can't have too much information. I think you remember, 10% of what you hear, and what you see helps out a lot.
Some RV dealers will pay for a night or two in a local campground for their customers, and they urge you to... you know, take them up on that and spend those two nights and try everything yourself. Make sure you know how to put the slide in and out. If that's the case, do you have a slide, or how you need to empty the black water tank? And that way you're close by the dealer, and you can look at your videotape first to see what they said. And then because you're close to the dealer, you can go back to them or give them a call, or maybe they'll even come out and help you at the site. But it's a problem. I mean, they do throw so much. It's like drinking from a water hose, so much information at you.
And then you forget, you know, time passes and you forget if you don't do something all the time, or, you know, just like learning a language or ballroom dancing, you forget if you don't do it a lot.
Speaking of which, we got to go dancing. It's time to go dancing. Yeah. All right, Nancy, thank you for using our RV Lifestyle voicemail for that. And we would invite you to offer your comments or your questions.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. You've heard us talking about lithium batteries here for a couple of years now. We've been big fans of Battle Born. We've had them in our last two RVs. We would not think of going in an RV without a Battle Born lithium batteries. Lithium batteries, Wow, they just offer better performance than any other kind of RV battery that you're going to find out there. Certainly better than the AGM standard that many manufacturers put in. Lithium charges faster. They offer better performance. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. And they're totally maintenance free. And the Battleborne batteries are covered by a 10-year guarantee. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether you have a Class A, a Class C, a B van, a travel trailer, a camper, don't worry. These guys are experts in those kinds of RVs, and they can offer three different 12-volt lithium deep cycle models with solutions that will literally drop into any size travel trailer or motorized RV. They can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller. We just used our lithiums on a winter campout. Temperature got down to 10 degrees above zero, and we had that lithium battery power. It's just awesome. They have heated lithium battery options, and we have that on ours. If you want to learn more about lithium batteries, what it can mean to you and your camping style, just check them out. Go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
One of the biggest worries that many RVers have is what happens when you're out on the road and something goes wrong with your RV. You need help. You need service. You need somebody to help stick a slide in or whatever it is that's broken on your RV. Who do you call? Where do you go? Well, that's where this interview of the week comes in, because we're talking to a guy named Phil Petrowski, and Phil is the CEO and the founder of a new company called Rescue My RV. It's a $50 a year emergency service for RVers that's aimed strictly at RV owners who might experience problems on the road. Either your RV needs to get towed in, or there's something wrong with the RV and you're in a campground and you need somebody to come out and fix it before you can take it off. Who do you call? Well, that's what this service does, because this will help you not have to search for help when you're in an unfamiliar area. You know, many people just say, I'll go to the local dealer, and they go to the local dealer and the dealer says, I'll be glad to help you, but I'm booked up for the next 2 weeks. Well, one call to their emergency number will give you a tow truck or a service tech, and they all are trained RVers. I mean, these people know how to handle an RV. You have an untrained tow truck operator giving you a tow with an RV. If they're not familiar with RVs, they can do major damage. I want you to listen to this interview. We talked to Phil. We thought it was a pretty interesting service. It's brand new, and so we said, hey, come on the program, tell everybody about it. And he said that he will also offer you a 10% discount on that $50 a year membership fee, members of the audience, and he gives you a coupon code. You'll hear it in the interview, but it's RVL2021. Check it out yourself, see what you think. This is Phil Petrowski, and we're going to talk about something called Rescue My RV. Well, joining us right now to talk about this new service is Phil Petrowski. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing very well, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
It is always a pleasure to talk to you. And as I said in the intro, one of the most frustrating things for RVers is to have a breakdown on the road and then to call a local service dealer and find, yeah, we can fix it for you. We can get you in 2 weeks. And that's just never a good situation. Will that solve that problem for us? And exactly how does it work?
Sure. So what Rescue My RV is doing is we've spent a lot of time building a nationwide network of quality reviewed tow and repair shops that are dedicated to the RV community. We spent, like I said, months and months building up referrals, then reaching out individually to each one of these companies, verifying that they are what they do, what capacities they have as far as, you know, do they only do Class A's or can they do Class C's, or, you know, understanding exactly how their business works, qualifying their hours, making sure that they are not just able but willing to work with the RVing community. Really important to us that we are different from many of the other services out there, that these are companies dedicated to the community and are excited to be working with them and giving back. That these are the best in the industry. These are factory trained professionals. It's not just somebody, you know, on the side of the road under a shade tree that says, oh, I can fix weed whackers. Oh, I can do your RV too. Or you know, it's some random guy with a tow truck, or excuse me, a random person with a tow truck. It's really, these are folks that eat, live and breathe RV repair and rescue.
The question for Rescue My RV is, how comprehensive is that network as our audience travels all across, you know, North America? Is this the U.S. only? Is it throughout all of North America? And how many folks do you have on board?
Right now, it is just in the U.S. We have visions of entering Canada probably the end of this year, maybe next year. But for right now, it is strictly the U.S. We have something approaching 1,100 partners.
Wow.
So we are in every state, not in Hawaii right now. It's hard to drive to Hawaii these days. But we are in Alaska. We are in every U.S. company we've got, we are covered.
Now, this is different than a towing membership that you'd get, say, through one of the big RV clubs. Or sometimes an RV manufacturer tosses in free road service. This is more than that. Explain what Rescue My RV offers the RVer.
Well, we appreciate everything that the other motor clubs have done over the years, and they've built up a great service. Where we are different and where we kind of dovetail with them is that we have a quality check. We have made sure that everyone can do what they say. We've also made sure that they're responsive to us. We've been driving business to them, and they recognize, you know, that we are essentially a seal, like kind of the good housekeeping seal of approval for the RVing community. And they don't want to lose that. We do quality checks. We're always monitoring that they are getting great reviews. After somebody uses our service, you will be sent a survey that, you know, will get your feedback. We want to know, were you treated with respect? Do you feel like your price, what you received, was fair? You were not gouged? And so that's very important. We are a membership-driven organization. We don't take any advertisements, no payments, no compensation, nothing from our network providers. Kind of similar in model to Angie's List. We are agnostic when it comes to who we work with. We only want to work with the best for our membership.
Walk us through a typical scenario of how one of our users would use Rescue My RV.
So you sign up for a membership at rescuemyrv.com. So then once you're on the side of the road, wherever you are, ideally you've downloaded our Android or iPhone app. You realize you have an issue. Obviously, get to a safe space, the place where you.
What kind of an issue, for example, would you call?
You have it's tire issue. You have motor issues, or you're at a campground and a slide is stuck. Anything related to your vehicle, plumbing leaks, anything, you call us. You call our 866 RMRV 001 number. You will get a U.S.-based call agent who's going to take your information. You can go right to our phone app, pull it up, and it'll locate exactly where you are. So you don't have to worry about, well, gosh, what mile marker are we on? Where are we? It has the GPS coordinates. You can zoom in and out just like you have do with Google Maps and tell, all right, I'm right past exit 37 on Route 75 in Kentucky or wherever you are. The call center agent will then put you on hold, then contact the tow company. Tell them that it's a Rescue My RV member. They need help. Here's where they are. And then we'll merge you in real time. And you will talk to the tow company while we're there. Make sure everything's set up. And then you're on the way to getting fixed.
Do they have to tow you in, or can they, if it's, say, your slide that's stuck, your steps not working, your air conditioners, will they actually come on site and fix it there, or do they have to take you to a facility?
Well, it depends. It depends on what you need. If you are, say, in a campground somewhere and, gosh, my slide is stuck, call us and we can contact one of the mobile service companies that we're affiliated with and they'll come to you. If you're stuck on the side of the road and need a tow, they can do that. If you're stuck, you have a flat and need that fixed, call us. We can get that to you too. Whatever you need, we're going to get that squared away.
So they come, and what fees then does the consumer have to pay? The RVer who's getting that tire replaced or repaired or the slide put back in, when do they have to pay? They obviously have paid a membership to you guys, which is how much a year?
It's $49.
$49. And we have a special deal, by the way, that you offered to our listeners. And we'll tell them about that in a minute. But so they pay that. What do they have to pay the tow driver?
It's whatever the tow driver, you work out a price. Many of our partner companies, not all, but have what come up with pricing for our MRV users, not everybody. And so you pay whatever they charge. We obviously want them to get value, and they will then make sure that you are being treated fairly. I mean, you don't want to get gouged, but we also, many times we've heard from our focus group when we first were looking into building this company, you can get cheap towing, but you know, if you get a $200 tow, but they do $40,000 worth of damage to your Class A because they didn't release the air brakes, there's a significant issue there, to say the least. So we have tried to move away from that classic model of, you know, you get X number of tow miles. Most of our members said, you know, we're willing to pay, or our focus group, excuse me, we'll pay what the cost is. We just want to make sure we're getting quality, safety, and dependability. So that's what our key driver.
So that is what the customer, the member of Rescue My RV gets, is the vetting, if you will, of the service provider, the tow truck driver. But they still have to pay whatever that charge is for coming out to you. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, you do pay what the charge is. We are not a discount program. We looked at that and said, you know, if you want just the cheapest tow service, there are ways to get around that. What some people are doing is they have a Rescue My RV membership on top of the tow service, because then if you get stuck and you call whatever provider you have, whatever motor club, and they send you to, you know, ABC Towing, you can then do a quick call to Rescue My RV and say, hey, you know, I'm here. Who's the best? And you can say either, yeah, ABC Towing is great, or maybe you want to try 123 Towing because they've got a much better reputation. And verify that they may or may not be in your motor club's membership list.
All right.
A lot of times they drive you to the cheapest, not the best.
All right. You offered a discount to our listeners. How does that work?
So you go to our website, rescuemyrv.com, and then you go through the checkout process. And in there, you would enter the coupon code RVL2021. For RV living, RV lifestyle, excuse me, 2021, and you will get a 10% off code.
So that would take your price down to like 44 for something bucks a month.
Yeah, right around $45.
All right, so 1,100 folks right now in your network in every state except Hawaii. All of them vetted, all of them specialists in helping solve RV problems. Some of them are mobile techs, right?
Mobile techs, tow companies, you know, statics repair companies, diesel, gas, fifth wheels, teardrops, you name it, we got it covered.
All right. RescueMyRV.com is the website. And again, RVL for RV lifestyle, RVL 2021 will get you a 10% discount. Phil Petrowski has been our guest, and Phil, I love seeing a service develop around a need, and there certainly is a need to rescue our RVs sometimes out there in the road. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.
The interview of the week brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs, they're located in sunny Gainesville, Florida, and they have one of the largest selections you'll find of new and used small motorhomes anywhere in North America. They have a full line of brand new RVs from the likes of Winnebago. They've got the Travato and the Era. Coachman, they got the Beyond. They've got the Galleria. They've got the American Patriot. They got the new models from Road Trek, the Fleetwood IROC, many more. If you're looking for a new RV, small motorhome, Sunshine State RV in Gainesville, Florida is where you need to go. But check out their inventory on their website, sunshinestatervs.com. Now, they also have a huge in-stock, previously owned inventory of RVs, ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between. Give them a call. Check out their website, sunshinestatervs.com. You won't find a wider selection of small motorhomes anywhere else. And every RV they sell goes through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They turn it on. They check all the appliances. They even take it on a road trip if they have to, just do a quick road test to make sure it's all working. You can trust these guys. We know them well and have visited them many times. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
You know, it's been said by our Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, that every place that they visit, and every place you visit too, has a story. And half the adventure of the RV lifestyle is discovering that story. So it is in a place called Vernon, Florida.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Errol Morris may be the best-known documentary filmmaker of our time. His work focuses on the human side of stories and doesn't stint when it comes to raw emotion and truth. He's best known for The Thin Blue Line and The Fog of War, but we were most interested to see his film about the town of Vernon, Florida. We've been to Vernon, and it has some very interesting history and a few can't-miss things to see. So why was Morris interested in the town? Well, in the 1960s, when Vernon was in the depths of economic depression, it achieved a singular distinction. For several years in that decade, two-thirds of the insurance claims for dismemberment in the USA came from this zip code. Here was a story Morris couldn't resist.
Morris arrived in town to make a film he intended to call Nub City. The finished product focuses on several town characters, a turkey hunter, a worm farmer, and a man who keeps a variety of wild animals in enclosures in his front yard. His pets, he calls them. We watched it, and it was fine. An interesting film about an average small town. The question was, why did someone like Morris choose to make it? In comparison to his other films, the drama, the intrigue, the central mystery was missing. It wasn't until later we found out why.
When he began to ask questions, it became clear the local residents did not want this period of their history revisited, on film or in conversation. Shortly thereafter, the filmmaker received several death threats, and as a result, his film took on a different tone. Sort of a travel video for a place no one would see as a destination. As you might imagine, it was a perfect stop for the likes of us. On the green central square of the town, out in front of the Sam Mitchell Library, a 1941 Suburban sits under a protective roof. It's the town homage to Gene Mitchell, who served as rural mail carrier and occasional taxi driver to the folks of the region for a dozen years.
Hands, never mentioned in Morris's documentary, play another part in Vernon's story, unrelated to the loss of them. Just outside town is the Moss Hill Methodist Church. If you've ever managed a fireplace, wood stove, or campfire, you may be familiar with fatwood. This is the heartwood of several species of southern pine, loaded with sap that makes it light fast and burn hot. The resins that permeate the wood are a bit sticky. The builders who made the church, many of them slaves, left their handprints on the wood, and those very personal marks are still visible today on the interior ceiling and walls.
The church, still in use for regular services, is practically unchanged since it was built in 1857. Kerosene lamps still hang over the simple wooden pews, and sitting down for a rest, it's easy to imagine yourself back in your grandparents' youth. On the lawn out front, Tom discovered a pre-revolutionary wooden cannon, and the cemetery includes the grave of a Civil War veteran who died at the ripe old age of 125.
About 20 miles away from Vernon, you can spend a few pleasant nights at the Sand Pond Campground in Pine Log State Forest. Many of the campsites sit on the shore of Lake Agnes, and there's a very nice loop trail, as well as hot showers and a couple of historical displays. We'll have to go back to see what more the area has to offer, but we found out quite a bit on this visit, including what to talk about and what not to talk about in small towns in Florida when you're exploring out here off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, there aren't a lot of them. In a normal year, at this time, I would be spending the next 5 minutes rapid fire delivering you all of the RV shows that are scheduled around the country. Well, that's not going to happen because most of them have been canceled, more being canceled almost every week. But there are two of them on, and they are both in the state of Florida, which has pretty much said we're going to have all of our shows as normal. The next one is February 11th through the 14th up in Jacksonville, Florida at the Jacksonville RV Mega Show. It's at the Jacksonville, Florida Equestrian Center. And that is, again, February 11th through the 14th. And the next one is February 18th through the 21st, and that is in West Palm Beach. And it's the West Palm Beach RV Show at the South Florida Fairgrounds there in West Palm Beach, Florida. Again, those dates, February 18th through the 21st. Those are the only ones that we know about. And as we hear of other ones, we certainly will tell you about them in the RV calendar of events every single Wednesday on the RV Podcast.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, everybody, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. New episodes of the podcast, of course, every Wednesday. Don't forget the RV Lifestyle Travel Blog at RVLifestyle.com. We have new content every single day. Check out RVLifestyle.com. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. See you down the road and happy trails.